It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
One on, nobody out. The 2-0 pitch.
Here's a swing, a long fly ball into left field. This is going to leave the park.
This is the Countdown to Opening Day show presented by Amron.
That ball's hit deep to left. This one's going to be out of here.
Get up, baby. Get up, get up, get up. Oh, yeah.
This one is going to go. Oh, my. He got all of that one.
Now, Mike Claiborne and Kevin Wheeler and the Countdown to Opening Day show presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Welcome into the Countdown to Opening Day show presented by Amron here on the Cardinals Radio Network. Mike Claiborne, Kevin Wheeler with you here. Claibs down in Jupiter, Wheeler not in Jupiter, so Wheeler is jealous of Claibs again this week. But my jealousy will probably not pass Claibs, but the access that we all have to seeing some baseball and everything else will start to pick up this weekend with the exhibition season, the spring training season starting on Sunday. So while I may be jealous that you're in Florida and I'm not, the weather has been better here in St. Louis the last few days. We were in the negative temperatures last week and it's in the 50s and 60s now. So I guess I'll say that I'm making it through.
You'll manage. It won't be that long. Trust me, before we're all together and, as you mentioned, we're going to have games this weekend, and that's a good thing. And, you know, we've had a couple of practices now and some workouts and some bullpens. So we're moving in a good direction.
Absolutely. And look, we're not going to get all of the answers to the questions that we want to get answers to in the beginning of spring. But I do think, Claibs, that, you know, with the shorter spring, and by shorter, I just mean fewer, like, A games,
fewer
right?
Games,
fewer regular games. I'm sure they're going to try to mix in some B games to get people at bats and innings, but it's obviously a more complicated thing than it normally is. Outside of finding more offense, even more offense, like finding out who in the outfield's going to produce a little bit more, or where they're going to be able to find a little bit more pop here and there. Is there anything else that you really want to find out about over the course of the next 5 weeks?
Yes, I would think I need to find out if we don't have a DH and Matt Carpenter is your lone experienced left-handed batter, where else are you going to have some more left-handed punch at? Because when you think about Carlson, switch hitter, yep. Edmund, switch hitter, their combined time in the majors is what, maybe 2 years, if that much, if you add up all the games. So it doesn't give me a lot of comfort of saying this is all the left-handed punch we have. And let's face it, this is a league that makes adjustments quickly. And if they figure that you don't have anybody that can hurt you from the left side, then they're going to bear down on you a little bit more. So I think that's one issue. The other issue for me, aside from who's going to be the fifth starter, and we can go through that ad nauseum, is what you're going to do about who's backing up Paul DeJong at shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
The one guy who I thought would have the job last year was Amundo Sosa. Ironically, he never made it to the big leagues last year. COVID and they just didn't make space for him.
Right.
He's a guy that they like in that position because he can play a little third also. But I also feel like they've got to continue to look to make sure that they have a guy who's not going to give four at-bats away when he gets a chance to play.
Yeah, it's interesting. I agree with you. I think the left-handed presence in the lineup would be helpful. Now, if you have a DH, you can have Matt Carpenter occupy that role. And maybe Justin Williams is a part of that too.
Yeah.
Depending on, you know, whether or not you want to keep him as a fifth outfielder. I think would you agree that the four seem to be pretty well set with obviously Carlson, Bader, O'Neill, and seemingly Lane Thomas. Now, I know that could change in the spring, but I know they're high on him and he plays all three outfield spots, which is not true of Williams. He's definitely a corner guy, and by a lot of scouting reports I've seen, is more of a left fielder than a right fielder. But that lefty bat still might be useful.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be useful because in his case, he can hit for a little power.
Right.
And I think if you're going to have a guy lefty bat, and whether he's going to get four bats in a day or maybe he's a guy that comes off your bench late, that you have to have someone with that ability to be a difference maker. And, you know, Williams, in the brief time that we saw him, has shown flashes, not enough to say this guy's a lock. You know, I think the first round draft choice tarnish is kind of worn off as far as when he was taken a few years ago. And he's one of those guys. And I think Bader and O'Neal are in the same category. And even Lane Thomas, it's time to produce. It's time to take advantage of the opportunity that you're given. Mm-hmm. And it may not be one that you're going to play every day, but it may be one where you need to be prepared to make a contribution in whatever the situation works for. So, you know, it's something that we have to see, and it's going to really be incumbent upon those guys to take full advantage of every at bat, Kevin. You know, there's some guys who come here and they just want to see the ball. They want to do this. They want to do that. But they never bear down until the last 10 games of the season. These guys don't have that option. They need to be bearing down from the moment they say play ball.
That's that's where I was going to go to next, Claves, is, you know, how much of that answer about the outfield and who's going to get playing time has to be, you know, kind of figured out before opening day, because as you point out, you know, it's not like these guys have had zero chance. Although, you know, with Thomas and Williams, their opportunities have been really small. They haven't had any kind of extended chance. But, you know, I mean, you're trying to get a handle on where things stand going into the season. Although I'm not sure there are a whole lot of solutions that are readily apparent if it doesn't work out. I just find it curious that, you know, you're going to have one way or the other. It looks like a pretty strong defensive group, both in the outfield and in the infield. But, you know, that outfield offense is probably the number one question, right? And outfield is normally where teams get a lot of their offense.
Yeah, you're right. And that's something that's it's a head scratcher. And how we arrive at that, man, I just don't know how long you give guys to produce starting in spring training. You don't want to have a quick hook.
Right.
But you have to find some consistency somewhere. And that's going to be a challenge for Mike Schilt and his coaching staff to figure out, is this a person that's in it for the long haul? I don't think you want to start going out looking in other organizations at this stage, but you certainly have to improve, because you've got the things in the middle. You've got Goldschmidt, you've got Arenado, and hopefully you'll have Carlson being able to be regular contributors along with Molina and DeJong. So back end, front end of the order, you got to find something that's going to be consistent and is going to normally come from the outfield.
Yeah, no question about it. And last thing here, Claves, because we got a whole busy show to get to coming up. But this is also kind of a question at the top of the order too, right? Like, you know, there's an interesting kind of, you know, how do we play this? Because, you know, Tommy Edman is the kind of the prototype in terms of speed and guy that can create some things on the bases, score from first on a double and all that. But he's not really known for the on-base skill. So if that improves, I think that answers that question all by itself. But what if Matt Carpenter has a big spring? What do you do? I mean, you know, and again, he has to do that. I think we've been, would you agree, Claves? It's been since August of 2018 where we've really seen Matt Carpenter be a productive major league hitter, at least on a regular basis. But what if he has an amazing spring? What if he's crushing it? What do you see happening there at the top of the order and at second base?
I'm going to go half full here. What if he doesn't? What if he lives up to what we've seen the last 3 years?
Well, then he's on the bench.
Yeah. And there, now you're really looking for a left-handed bat. I don't want to make this sound like gloom and doom, but I haven't seen anything, that gives me a feeling like this is going to be better than the last 3 years, because we've seen a lot of adjustments made. We've seen different spots in the order. We've seen everything from different workout programs to lifting more weights, lifting less weights, to wearing batting gloves. We've heard everything. And oh, by the way, he's getting older. Okay. Yeah. And those are the concerns that I have, that I don't see how 35-year-olds turn it around in the manner that I think we're going to need this 35-year-old to turn it around.
We got a big show for you today. Not a big shock during spring training. A lot of cool things happening. We're going to hear from Nolan Arenado coming up in a couple of minutes. Later on this hour, Claves had a one-on-one conversation with Jack Flaherty. So we got a big piece of that for you, plus a conversation with Derek Gould. A busy first hour here on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show, presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Ameren Illinois has been installing smart meters throughout the state. While you probably don't notice a difference day to day, this advanced technology is giving us the power to do more. These smart meters allow us to detect and isolate outages faster than ever before. Plus, they give you more ways to help control your energy usage and save you money. As we continue to upgrade our network, your smart meter will continue to become, well, smarter. Now that's energy at work. Learn more at amerenillinois.com/reliability.
Hey, St. Louis, Dan McLaughlin here, and I have a scoop for you. Download the Schnucks Rewards app. Trust me, it'll pay off. You shop at Schnucks like normal, earn points on almost everything in the store, and redeem the points for money off. Easy as that. If earning money off your groceries wasn't enough, it also has cool features to make shopping at Schnucks even easier. You can locate items in the store, refill prescriptions, check the weekly ad. It's a grocery game changer. So download Schnucks Rewards from the App Store or Google Play and start saving today.
This is John Rooney for iWarehouse. For all you contact lens wearers out there, no one ever commented that your contacts look fabulous. iWarehouse. In the world of high fashion, eyewear always trumps contacts.
Do you know that Goodwill accepts car donations? Yes. If you have an old car or truck that's just taking up space, consider donating it to Goodwill. It's quick, easy, and towing is free. Plus, you'll get a tax receipt and family meals for a year, compliments of our hometown Lion's Choice, while supplies last. For more info or to donate online, visit mersgoodwill.org. Your car donation helps fund Goodwill's many programs, including their Excel Center High School with over 400 graduates and still growing. Your donations change lives.
For a hole in your roof or a whole new roof, Frederick Roofing. Frederick Roofing, 645-2000.
88,000 satisfied customers since 1929. Frederick Roofing, 645-2000.
The 2020 Ford F-150 is built for the Midwest with everything you want in a pickup. Want the power and efficiency of a potent six-engine lineup? Want top-rated towing and best-in-class payload that never quits? What about the latest driver assist tech that gives you the confidence for any road ahead? The 2020 F-150 has it all and more. That's what makes F-Series the top-selling truck for 42 years and counting. Get behind the wheel of an F-150 today at your quality Ford dealer, proud sponsor of the St. Louis Cardinals. Class is full-size pickups under 8,500 pounds GVWR.
Whether you're a chance starter,
let's go Blue!
A towel waver, a chest painter, or a glass thumper, no matter how you fan, now you can fan even harder with Blue's checking from Scott Credit Union. Earn interest with no fees and no minimum balance. With Blue's checking, you're always on a power play. So fan harder with Blue's checking from Scott Credit Union. Join us at scu.org.
Once again, the day will come when the 5-gallon buckets of sunflower seeds are hauled from the storage rooms, when the telltale bouquet of mathematically cut grass, pine tar, and brand spanking new jerseys will fill the Missouri air, when the dexterous fingers of Dwayne Hilton will dance across the Oregon's ivories once more. It may not feel like it, but rest easy, Cardinals fans. Spring is coming. Phillips 66, live to the full. Proud sponsor of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Whether it's time to welcome a new season or say goodbye to a franchise great, Cardinals Magazine gives you the most in-depth, indispensable story around. For nearly three decades, Cardinals Magazine has taken you on the field and inside the clubhouse with premier coverage of Cardinals past, present, and future, in season and out. Make this year a better year with Cardinals Magazine. Subscribe at cardinals.com/magazine or 314-345-9000. Cardinals Magazine, it's all here.
We continue with the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show presented by Ameren on the Cardinals Radio Network. Mike Claiborne, Kevin Wheeler with you here. And, of course, for the last few weeks, you know, one of our primary topics has been the arrival of Nolan Arenado, the Cardinals, of course, making the big trade with the Rockies a while back. And not only hearing from him in his initial press conference, but hearing other people talking about his presence. Well, I want you guys to hear a little bit from him from this week. Arenado had his first full squad workout with the Cardinals earlier this week and afterward talked a bit about the experience.
The first day is always a little different. You know, we got on the field smoothly and it was fun being in the group with those guys, talking the game, but it was a good solid day. You know, it felt good to be out there with the team, putting pants on again. So a real easy day. Thought it was really important to get here early. You know, the big thing was obviously to get used to where I was going. And then the other was the time difference from California. It's a 3-hour difference. So getting up early over here is pretty early back home. So had to get used to it a little bit quicker, and I thought it'd prepare me for this day, and it has. So getting up early has been a problem, and feel fresh. I feel good. And, you know, I love coming to the ballpark every day here, and it's nice to get to work. And everything I think about this organization has kind of been come to light, obviously seeing it. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there hasn't been any surprises. Obviously, the intensity has been great. The hard work, the coaches are all locked in. It's been really cool. The communication's been great. You know, everything I kind of expected, it's been that. So I've been really excited. I really like it so far, and it's the way it should be. So it's been nice. We're all getting along, talking. We are spending enough time. We're spending enough time with each other outside. You know, inside, or, you know, they don't want us doing that. So outside in the tents and stuff like that, you know, we're sitting more than 6 feet apart. So we're talking, communicating the game. But it's been great. It's been great so far. I love it. All the coaches are there to push you and get you better. And they're challenging me with new drills and new things. And I really like that.
Nolan, I was wondering if you've had a chance to talk to Nolan Gorman much. Obviously, you know, a younger guy who's a third baseman, who was one of the, you know, top prospects here.
Yeah, you know, the first few days I was in the same group as him before camp started. So we got to know each other a little bit. We went golfing together and got to hang out. And obviously he's an extremely talented player with big power. And, you know, I think he's going to help us win a lot of games. And, you know, obviously that trade stuff is probably a tough, you know, probably a weird adjustment. But it seems like, you know, he isn't complaining. He's getting to work. He's working hard at second base and third base and everywhere. So, I mean, he seems like he's all in, and he looks like he wants to contribute, and that's the kind of players you want on your team. So I believe he'll have an impact with us one day, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later.
Knowing Karp as long as you have, how do you see his attitude right now? Because he's not necessarily got a regular job with the addition of you, but there's a spot for him, I'm sure, somewhere here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Karp's a great player. He's done some great things in this game, and he's going to be a big part of this group, and we need him. We need him to be who he is, and we need him on this team. So I'm excited to play with him. Obviously, you know, we're going to push each other at third, and he's going to probably play a little bit of second, a little bit of first. I mean, he's going to help us win ball games. There's no doubt about that. So I'm excited to play with Karp. You know, he's going to have a position, and he's going to help us win a lot of games this year.
Nolan, I'm curious what your excitement level is strictly on the defensive side of things.
Obviously, we have a great defense, great outfield, and then we have some really good pitching. So that's going to carry us a long way. You know, obviously, the offensive side, we got to, you know, obviously be better and, you know, help the team win. But, I mean, we got some great defense, and I'm really excited for that. I mean, that's how we're going to pull some great wins off, and it's going to carry us. But, you know, we have, like I said, we have great pitching. I think we're going to have the timely hitting, and hopefully that can help the lineup a little bit. But, like I said, this defense is pretty good. I mean, taking ground balls with all of them, they all look fundamentally sound, and they move well, and it's been really nice to see.
And again, that's Nolan Arenado from a little bit earlier this week. Stick around. We got a lot more to do. Some great interviews for you this hour, even busier in the next hour, so make sure you're staying with us. Also want to remind you that you should gear up for the season with a subscription to Cardinals Magazine. It's your premier source for Cardinals coverage in season and out. You can sign up at cardinals.com/magazine or call 314-345-9000. Coming up next, Mike Claiborne had a nice little sit-down with Jack Flaherty. You're going to hear from the Cardinals' number one starter. Coming up next, it is the Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network. Rolling along on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron here on the Cardinals Radio Network, just days before the first game here on the network coming up on Sunday. So you'll be hearing live baseball Sunday at 12:05 p.m. with the Cardinals taking on the Washington Nationals. Now, we don't know yet who's going to be starting that game, but we do have a pretty good idea who's going to be starting on opening day. Seems like a pretty good chance that would be Cardinals starter Jack Flaherty. Earlier this week, he sat down with our own Mike Claiborne to talk a bit about things getting ramped up here in the early part of spring.
You actually face some hitters with bats in their hands compared to, I'm sure, where you were working out in the offseason. They may have a guy stand in a box, but these guys may be a little bit better than what you face. So how did you think things went?
You know, it's always interesting the first time you get a hitter in there. Just a different feeling. You know, you tend to overthrow things a little bit, try to make things a little bit better than they need to be. So just from a mental standpoint, it was good to get somebody in there, try to hit your stuff. You know, if you're working on something or trying something out, you can get a little bit better of a feel and get some more feedback as opposed to, you know, somebody receiving your stuff or somebody watching. It's a little bit different when you get a hitter in there trying to hit it and who's willing to give you feedback too.
Are you working on different pitches, or are you working on something new, or are you just trying to play with some things just to get a feel?
Just playing with things, trying to get a feel and seeing how things react. You know, for me, just making sure pitches are in the same spot, like where they need to be, you know, that the slider's breaking the way it needs to, curveball's breaking the way it needs to, fastball has the, you know, the life it needs to. You can kind of see where your fastball is at just based on how they react to things. And you know, if they're taking your slider, you know, maybe they'll tell you, hey, it's a little flat today. You know, it might feel good in bullpens, and then the second you get a hitter in there, they might tell you something different. So you can just, you're able to read swings and know how, you know, a hitter should react to a certain pitch. And if they don't, then, you know, hopefully there's a communication where they're able to help you out.
How much do you pay attention to velocity? You know, we've seen guys come in the game and they want to go 97. They want to go 98. They want to go 99. And they want to wow people, but they don't have the control. It might be a little too flat. So what's your comfort zone with regard to velocity and when you know you can do things off of your fastball?
I think the hitter is going to tell you exactly where your velo is at. Some guys hit the fastball a little bit better than others. But also some days your fastball is going to play different than it is. You know, some guys throw 99 and, you know, hitter may come back and be like, that just doesn't feel like 99. Some guys may throw 94 and hitters will come back and be like, it feels like he's throwing 100 out there. So everybody's different. At least for myself, like when I get into a game, a hitter is going to tell me exactly where my fastball velo is at. I might have a little bit more giddy up on it one day. And, you know, another day I may have to just focus on locating it a little bit more. So the hitter will tell you everything you need to know about your velo. It's cool to look up at the scoreboard and see where you're at, but at the end of the day, hitter's going to tell you.
Now, when you watch hitters and their reaction, you watching their swing, you watching footwork, you watching their eyes. What are the keys for you to see if it's working or if you may need to adjust?
All different things. Their takes, their swings. Are they early? Are they late? Did they see it well? Was it like a good take? Was it kind of in between? Did they just get lucky with a good take? Sometimes you throw a really good pitch and you just like, you kind of guess and maybe you chalk it up, be like, ah, that's just a lucky take. I'm gonna try that again. Sometimes you're wrong. So you look at everything. You look at the way they take it. You look at their feet, sometimes their hip, whether or not their hip's flying open, if they're cheating, but you see it in their timing, you know, if they're on time for the fastball, whatnot.
You know, I always like to remind people that as good of a pitcher might be, you know, they pay that guy with a bat in his hand a lot of money to mm-hmm. do some damage as well. And they're going to get you from time to time. How much of a memory do you have in those situations where, yeah, he got me and I gave him a really good pitch and he just took care of it compared to saying, all right, I don't want to throw that pitch again. Or are you one of those guys that say, I think my pitch is going to be better than his swing?
I'm always going to take my pitch over his swing, but I'm going to remember, you know, maybe an approach that a guy had, you know, if you got me in a situation or whatnot, or especially if I got him, you know, I remember the sequence, I remember, you know, the approach he had or the takes he took. But definitely on certain pitches, maybe it wasn't your best one. You might have thought like, oh, you threw a really good pitch, and you go and watch the video and you're like, oh, it wasn't. Like it was mm-hmm. over the plate and I actually made a mistake. And usually that's what it is. Usually a lot of the pitches that get, you know, a guy gets you because you're going to get got. Guys are going to hit homers off you. It's just going to happen. A lot of those tend to be mistakes. You may think it was a lot better than it was, but it usually tends to be a mistake. So
you ever had that situation where you really had second thoughts about throwing a pitch and this moment you throw it, you know it's going to be a pitch that's going to give you trouble? Or are you one of those ones that you'll step off and take a deep breath, maybe shake off the sign to make sure you have more confidence in the pitch? Because I've seen where guys, when they get in between and they're not sure, they throw a pitch without the confidence behind it. And the next thing you know, they're using a new baseball because that one is unplayable.
That's one of the things we talk about is throwing with conviction, which is what I've always been about. So if I'm unsure about a pitch, I either won't throw it and I'll shake it off, or, you know, I may be all about it and then I get it. Some, I don't know what it is. Something just clicks with me like, yeah, maybe that's not it. And so I will, I'll step off, regroup and see when he puts it down again, if I still want to throw it or not. So it just is making sure you're convicted behind every pitch. I try to not throw anything unless I wholeheartedly believe in it, where, you know, I can deal with the result at the end of the day.
There's still this rumor that the hitters are going to be pitchers and the pitchers are going to be hitters. How much have you swung the bat from last year? I mean, obviously with no DH last year, you may have been in a cage in the offseason. I don't know. I know you take pride in your hitting. So where are you at with that at this point?
It's a work in progress right now. Because I didn't swing at all last year. Once we left spring training, I didn't swing. I think I swung about one time once we left spring training. And then in the offseason, I swung about one time, I think. So we're kind of starting from scratch this spring.
Boy.
But at the end of the day, it comes down to we just need more game reps. Mm-hmm. We can take all the reps we want in the cage, but we don't ever get any game reps. We'll take, you know, the last couple of years, it's been we go in the last like two games of spring and we get like four at bats. And like, okay, go ahead and let's try to hit in season. Or just like, where's our game? We haven't hit in the, like, we probably need more reps this year considering we didn't hit for a whole year.
What did you take away from last year as a person and what was going on, A, in your life, at B, in this country, and certainly in the game of baseball? What are some of the things you took away that you wanted to try and keep with you for 2021?
At least from a team perspective, you know, our team can handle a lot of adversity. You know, we sat out for 15 games or 15 days, whatever it was, had to play however many doubleheaders it was. And for our team and our guys to go through that, and especially with me not pitching all that well, and for guys to just get us in a situation to get to the playoffs and then get in the playoffs and then put up a fight against the, you know, being a couple pitches away here and there from beating the Padres. So from a team perspective, we can handle adversity. And then for me, you know, it just brought me back to getting back to my roots and, you know, got away from a couple things with all that time off, and just brought me back to figure out, you know, who I was, what made me me, what made me the pitcher that I am, and just spending my time the right way. It was just a, you know, it was good. It was good to get, you know, the first quarantine when we got sent home from spring training. It was good to have, it's probably the most family time I've had in a while with me, with myself, my mom and my brother all under the same roof. So it was good. It was good to have that. And it was nice to have that family time and just remember what that feels like.
This offseason was really, really slow. And then all of a sudden, Adam signs. And then mm-hmm. the rumor goes out about Arenado. Now, this is the same thing we heard last year. What went through your mind when you first heard that the Arenado deal might be real this time?
Here we go again. It was just another rumor. Yeah, I was just like, it's just another rumor. One of the guys texted me, I think the morning of, I think The Athletic wrote an article about it. And he sent it, and I was just like, this ain't gonna happen. I don't know why we're getting excited. Like, I'm happy we got Waino back. But I was just like, I thought nothing of it, if I'm be honest. And then obviously things happened really quick that day.
And then all of a sudden it takes place. Then Yachty comes back, and here mm-hmm. we go, because spring training is just around the corner. So have you had a chance to really digest and then look over and realize, you know, we had one of the best players in the game, and he's on our team to go along with some other good players you have on your team?
I think that first spring training game we play, hopefully he's in there, but that's when it'll really hit of like, yeah, this guy's on our team. Like, we got to, like, this guy's over at third base right now, and he's going to be with us. So I think that's when it'll hit. It's nice, you know, seeing him around, seeing him in the locker room, seeing him, you know, take BP and whatnot. I haven't had too much time to interact because that's just the way it's been with protocols and whatnot, and just trying to, you know, do the best we can. But yeah, it's been good to see him around.
All right. One other thing before we get out of here. Offseason also had you involved in arbitration. And I know that arbitration is not an easy thing to do. The Cardinals had not lost one. Gosh, you go back to the 90s. They've been involved in a couple. I remember the Michael Walker one. That's not a neat experience. That's not a fun day at the beach. What was it like for you?
I mean, the whole process of itself is it sucks. I'm trying to find the best way to describe it. It's not a fun process to go through. It's even with trying to decide your value, like, you got to look back at previous players and you got to comp yourself to somebody, which is great and all. Like, you have previous, which is, you know, how salaries work too, when you go into free agency and you comp yourself to somebody else. But the free agent market has accounted for inflation, whereas the arbitration system is still like, it's still the same. And, you know, guys get signed out of going into the arbitration process. They sign deals to stay out of it. And, you know, it hurts the system a little bit. So the system of itself is not good. And it definitely was not built to come off of a year like 2020 for a bunch of the first year guys. I don't want to say it was eye-opening, but it was interesting to sit through. It was interesting to hear hear a bunch of things and really interesting just to learn about the process and that it is, it's not good.
And again, that's Jack Flaherty with Mike Claiborne here on the Countdown Show. Now, I've got a question for you. And if you're somebody that's getting married in 2021, Busch Stadium is the perfect venue for baseball-loving couples, and dates are still available for the season, so you can check it all out for receptions to ceremonies to portrait sessions. Cardinals special events can help bring a little baseball to your big day. Obviously, you can find out more at cardinals.com. All right, we got a lot more to do. Coming up next, we're going to catch up with Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch here on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network. It's the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron here on the Cardinals Radio Network. Mike Claiborne, Kevin Wheeler with you here on this Wednesday evening, and glad to have you with us. I know we've had a nice busy hour already, having heard from Nolan Arenado and Jack Flaherty, and now it's time to hear from Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch. He and Mike Claiborne both in Jupiter this time of year, and of course, just earlier this week, Claibs and Derek sat down to talk a bit about how things are going and what we can expect here moving forward in the spring.
The offense. And when you look at the pieces, it still seems like there's some things missing.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you think that they certainly have the tent pole hitters in Arenado and Goldschmidt around which to build around. But it's at the outliers that there are so many questions. It's like, where is the depth come from? Where's the leadoff hitter? There's really not an obvious leadoff hitter, especially with Schilt being dismissive of Dylan Carlson possibly being there. So, you know, I think when you look at what, you know, they're trying to do offensively to create depth, they have names and pieces to put there, but there are real questions at the flanks. They know who the middle order is. They know that Dylan Carlson is going to be part of it. But what they do all around that, I think, is very fascinating.
Let's talk about, I won't call it hot seat, but probably going to get a longer look. And maybe the last look, I think you've got some guys in the outfield who really have to step up. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to hold the hands of Tyler O'Neill or Harrison Bader this year. It's either sink or swim. And you know, Lane Thomas would be in that conversation if not for the injury and the illness of last year.
Yeah, he might still be. You know, I mean, the Cardinals are a little Randy Arozarena shy with their outfielders at this point in time. And maybe, you know, also a little Luke Voit shy in the sense that, you know, these are guys who they have scouted and they've acquired and they think they have, you know, real talent to be producers for them, and they want to give them the chance. They've really cleared a lot of way over the last 2 years to give these guys a healthy amount of playing time. I think spring training kind of sets the stage for how much playing time and how much patience the team has. You know, Harrison Bader is an exceptional elite fielder that keeps him in the lineup, that has the Cardinals talking about him as the incumbent in center field. There's a lot to like about Lane Thomas, and has been for a while. I mean, you look back to what he did at AAA, and he was Randy Arozarena before Randy Arozarena was Arozarena, and he did so before the ball got kind of crazy at AAA, if you recall. So, you know, Lane Thomas has a well-rounded game, lots of facets to his game, can play center, can, you know, crack out some doubles, has sneaky power. Justin Williams has really, you know, found a footing on the roster, you know, coming out of summer camp last year. You know, the outfield, it has to be better. It's been the biggest anchor on the team offensively. It's just been the least productive outfield of any winning team in baseball for 2 years now. And how they get more from it, I think, is not just a test of the players, certainly there first and foremost, but it's also a test of the Cardinals' development at the major league level. How do they get more from these guys? You know, over the past 3, 4, 5 years, the Cardinals have not gotten the production from hitters that they count on. And that goes for Marcell Ozuna. That goes for some of the guys that they've imported. I mean, you could say that Dexter Fowler was adrift there for a little while. And it certainly is the case with some young hitters. You know, it's noteworthy that Dylan Carlson needed a reset at summer camp and then came back and surged. You know, Harrison Bader, Lane Thomas, Tyler O'Neill, these guys, they can't get that reset at AAA to surge. They got to find a way to connect with them at the major league level and make them more well-rounded and more productive hitters.
I want to talk about the CBA, and yeah. It's the elephant in the room right now with regard to this season and the future. And we talk about it, we hear about it. What do you think this thing is going to be all about at the end of the day? What are the biggest sticking points from where you sit that are going to really create some angst amongst not only players,
owners, fans, and people like you and me who cover this game.
Today, it's service time. With the comments from the former president of the Seattle Mariners sort of exposing what we all knew, what all the actions was, this willingness to massage service time and suppress salaries for young players. You've seen it closer to home with Jack Flaherty making his statements every year about how he feels he's worth more than what the Cardinals are paying him. That's a big part of the CBA for the union, is finding ways to get players higher salary and paid more of what they're worth earlier in their career, especially if teams are going to start not signing veteran players. I mean, you look at players are getting younger, and what's happening is the market there is not there for the older players, which is used to be when they would get their riches. Now you have this class of players that are settling for these one-year deals, like Brad Miller's an example, right? Think back, you know, to 15, 18 years ago, the kind of contracts that a Brad Miller could count on getting once he got out into the free agent market. Now teams are like, well, we may not be able to get as good a player as Brad Miller, but we can get a slightly less player and only pay them minimum. And that's a better value for them. And I think that's like the biggest question facing the union and the leagues and the owners is how do they line up the value with the best talent? Because a lot of teams are now going for the best value as opposed to the best talent. They need to get the market back in line. To do that, you know, some of the debates that are going to happen are how do you define revenue, where the money for the owners is coming, and how much of that it needs to go to players. Owners have been really reluctant to define what that revenue is, what that revenue stream is, what all of their revenues are, and a union is going to want to know that. And I think there's a real clash here. How do you get younger players paid more earlier? Does that mean earlier access to arbitration? Does that mean earlier access to free agency? How do you eliminate the service time manipulation so that the best players are in the majors at the time that they earn it? And then how do you recreate a marketplace where value and talent are more in line?
Is arbitration still a good idea?
Yes. For,
yeah, as of today.
I mean, is there some middle ground? Because we've been fortunate here in St. Louis where we haven't had a great deal of arbitration hearings. We had the one this year with Jack Flaherty, Michael Wacha a couple of years ago. But everybody walks away feeling like, man, there's got to be a better way to figure this out.
Right.
Now, I was told that there's an algorithm that they could apply. Mm-hmm. But the issue here is that the agents won't like it because it's something that if they apply it, it'll be collectively bargained. Hence, you don't charge a commission on a collectively bargained issue that you're going to deal with in a contract.
Right. So arbitration right now allows for collusion, and that's a bad part of it because it allows for Major League Baseball to shape and manipulate and put out the timing of when the, of how salaries go out. So, like, for example, like Jack Flaherty, first-year eligible starting pitcher, he was in a class that also included Walker Buehler. Walker Buehler settles on a two-year extension with the Dodgers after Flaherty goes into his arbitration hearing. All of this is scripted out to allow for a market to set the prices as a whole, and Major League Baseball has its thumb on the scale in that regard. That's not great, and agents know that, and it also pits teams against players because it says, hey, Cardinals, you can't give Jack Flaherty whatever you want. You have to, you know, give him what we think he's deserved. Even if and then Major League Baseball doesn't have to have a seat at the table as the Cardinals are telling him all the reasons why they don't want to pay. That part is a mess. Why arbitration still has a place in all this, however, is because it right now is still a marketplace for young players to get raises. And we don't see that in free agency per se. So, you know, you see guys like Yadier Molina as an example, late in his career, taking a pay cut. Adam Wainwright coming back from injury. Takes a pay cut, has to get back up there. You watch what has happened with Marcell Ozuna. Where was that $100 million contract that would have awaited a player like that years ago? Through arbitration, they are still forcing raises for players, and that's a good thing. It's just not happening fast enough, and it's not allowing the teams to dictate that based on the talent or the performance that they're getting in return. It's all based on this class and this peer group. Jack Flaherty and Walker Buehler are worth more to their teams, and their performance is worth more to those two teams than being weighed down by the performances of other first-year starters. And that's created a problem. You're a hockey fan. If they were to introduce some kind of restricted free agency where, say, a team could say, we would like Jack Flaherty, and this is the price we're willing to pay, and the Cardinals have to go, uh-oh, well, we'll take your draft picks, or we're going to meet that price, that would radically change baseball, and that would get salaries up for younger players.
Well, we saw that once in St. Louis with Scott Stevens and Brendan Shanahan, so you make a great point there.
And that's Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch with my man Mike Claiborne. The Cardinals Kids Club is presented by Rawlings, and it's the exclusive fan club for kids 13 and under. Membership includes access to exclusive virtual events and items including a fleece blanket and a wall sign, all for just $33. You can join at cardinals.com/kidsclub. Stick around. We got a lot more coming your way, a whole nother hour of stuff. We're going to talk a bit about Matt Carpenter again. We're going to hear from Mike Shildt. CJ Nitkowski from MLB Network Radio is going to be joining us. So a lot going on in the second hour. And up next, we've got another 2021 Cardinals calendar to give away right here on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network. It's the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron here on the Cardinals Radio Network. Mike Claiborne, Kevin Wheeler with you here. Getting underway for hour number two. Obviously, a lot coming your way throughout the rest of this show, and certainly a few more shows, Claibs, before we run up on opening day. So it's, you know, if you'd asked me a few weeks ago if it felt like things were happening quickly in baseball, it would have been like, no, it's not really. But maybe it's a coincidence. But ever since the Arenado trade, it feels like the whole thing is sped up, and now, like, the regular season's right around the corner.
You know, that's a great point you make, because it did seem like we were, you know, at a snail's pace. But, man, Arenado rolls in, and things start to percolate. Then you have Wainwright and Molina signing. And
yeah.
You know, here we are in spring training, and now we're having some conversations about different positions, the traditional fifth starter conversation, and just what this offense is going to look like. And I think that's where it starts. I mean, you look at the pitching is, it should be okay.
Yeah.
Bullpen should be terrific.
Yeah.
The defense is going to be better than last year. And so that leads us to the one most important factor, and this is what fans get a kick out of as much as anything, is offense. And it wasn't there last year. I mean, you didn't hit a lot of home runs. You didn't score a lot of runs. And, you know, it was frustrating because we wasted a lot of good pitching performances last year. So how do we improve it? Well, we go out and get Arenado. Okay, that's great.
Yep.
And nobody's complaining about that. He and Goldschmidt should work well off of each other. Okay, now what do we do about DeJong? DeJong kind of faded, got off to a good start. How can he stay consistent? How can he not give away at bats? Then there's Yadi. Yeah, he's old, but Yadi finds a way to get the clutch hit when you need it. He's not going to hit for a lot of power, but when he does, it always seems to be timely.
Yeah.
So that leads us to the leadoff man spot, and that's going to be Tommy Edman, we think.
Right.
It also leads us to Harrison Bader and what he's going to do. You know, he's been around for a while now, and at this point, offense has got to be something he's going to have to be significantly better at.
Mm-hmm.
And then there comes the left field position. Now, I say position because you have Lane Thomas, you have the Gold Glove winner and Tyler O'Neill, and you also have Justin Williams. That's the most key spot on the field, and it may even be a spot for Matt Carpenter. You just don't know. But it's got to be a more productive position. And how we get to that, I just don't know. And you know what? We might be throwing Tommy Edman out there if Carpenter's going to play some second base.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's pretty simple, I think, Claibs. And Mike Shildt used a variation of it here since the start of spring training. Where, you know, if you hit, you don't sit. I know we talked about that last week. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're in a lineup that needs more offense, if you're hitting, you're not sitting. I mean, if Carpenter hits, he's going to play. But we know that's a question mark. And, you know, it's one of those things that we touched on last hour, Claibs. It's going to be one of those deals where you have to see it to believe it. And, you know, it's been a long enough time where you're not going to just assume that it's going to come back. And, you know, now that Matt Carpenter's 35, that equation becomes even more complex. And there are a few, you know, I was talking about this earlier in the week, and I wanted to run it by you, Claibs, because when people start having somewhat regular physical problems in the same area, right? He's had the lower back and the oblique problems for a number of springs now. I don't think it's a coincidence that coincides with some of the numbers dropping off. And, You know, I wanted to make a point about, you know, the physical, being physically compromised is not always the same as being injured, right? But an injury can lead to that. So look at, like, for example, Alan Craig. There's a line in the sand in his career. The amazing middle of the order hitter before the foot injury and the guy that never figured it out after the foot injury. Albert Pujols was arguably the greatest hitter of all time, or at least one of the greatest hitters of all time through the first 10, 11 years of his career. As soon as the leg problems started to become chronic, the offense goes away, and it's very difficult. When your body doesn't work the same way that it used to, it's not about mechanical changes, and it's not about your workouts, and it's not about whether or not you know how to hit. Sometimes the body just doesn't work the way that it used to. We see that with pitchers all the time, right? I mean, you know, a guy that used to throw 96 now throws 91. And I mean, look, for example, you look at Clayton Kershaw. You know, his body doesn't work the same way that it used to. And I wonder if that's what we're looking at with Matt Carpenter. That, because, I mean, here's a guy, Claves, nobody questions his work ethic, his knowledge, his ability to control a strike zone. It just seems like that what used to seem easy does not look easy anymore.
I think you make a good point. I'm going to add one other word to it, age. When you start to have those issues that limit you, and the older you get, it becomes more difficult to be able to fight through it and push through it or make the adjustment that's going to make you effective. It's a bad combination. And, you know, in Carpenter's case, I think you hit the nail on the head, because it's hard to swing a baseball bat when you've had lingering back issues. And, you know, you may feel good.
Right.
But there's that one little circuit in your brain that says, well, we can't do it like we used to, and therefore you're limited. And then you pick up other bad habits that come with it because you're trying to compensate for what you were able to do at one point in your career. So you may be right on point. It's something that I think we all have to look at. I'm sure Matt Carpenter in the back of his mind has certainly thought about it. But, you know, I think for fans and certainly the team, what's next? What's our plan B should this situation not get off on the right foot?
Yeah. And again, I hope it's not that. I mean, I would love to see Carpenter healthy and productive. I mean, I just, you know, when we see similar situations with players that, you know, you get into your mid-30s and you have an injury. And it's, again, it's a chronic thing, right? Something that comes up, you know, somewhat regularly. I mean, we've had that with Carpenter a number of springs in a row. And I use myself as an example, Claves. I'm sure you've got something along those lines. I think everybody does, but something like 16 years ago, I broke my ankle pretty bad. I mean, broken bones and just tore ligaments and the whole deal. And like today, it doesn't feel the same as the other ankle. It doesn't hurt. It's not injured anymore. Right? It doesn't cause any pain, but it doesn't move the same way. It doesn't have the same range of motion. And you know what happens to a hitter especially, but even a pitcher too. See, a pitcher can work differently, right? If you lose velo, you can work more command. You can use your curveball more. You can develop a changeup. You can kind of finesse it a little bit. Hitting is all about explosiveness. It's all about bat speed and being at the right place at the right time. And when you feel like you're not getting there, the first thing a hitter is going to do is start to cheat to hit the fastball, which is going to make you more vulnerable to strikeouts, more vulnerable to off speed. And you know, if you're missing that one or two pitches you get a game that you have a chance to hit, I mean, that's it. That's the difference between being productive and not.
No, I agree with you. And again, I think it's also, there's a mental block where you think you can do it. And then there's another element in your mind that says, yeah, but you can't. And your body tells you can't. And, you know, it goes back to my original concern that if we have this perfect storm of not being able to get off on the right foot, you know, the Cardinals are going to be looking around for some bona fide options, and that bona fide option may not be on the ball club as we speak.
Certainly something we'll be tracking. Again, you know, knock on wood, hopefully everything goes well for Carpenter, because again, if he's hitting well, that's going to be a good problem for the team to have to figure out. It's not really a problem. It's one of those joking things, like a good problem. It's not
really a problem. And you know what, Kevin, I think the other thing here is he doesn't need to hit 36 home runs in order to be a contributor. You know, I mean, there's a lot of ways Matt Carpenter can help this team with the bat. So if he wants to swing for power, then if he gets his pitch, then yeah, fire away. But that's not a prerequisite here to have 35, 36 home runs like he did a couple of years ago. Let's just find, how about going back to having a bunch of doubles? You know, with that one year he had 55. I mean, you know, if he can give you 40, I mean, yeah, I'll take that in a heartbeat at this point, because there's going to be runners on in front of him and he's going to be a run producer at that point.
Well, hopefully we'll find out more about that as it goes along in the spring. And a lot of these questions we have now will be less questions and more answers in about a month. Mike Claiborne and Kevin Wheeler with you here. And we're just a few days away from the start of the Grapefruit League schedule, which is happening on Sunday. Can't wait to get that game going. That'll be 12:05 between the Cardinals and the Nationals right here on the Cardinals Radio Network. We got a lot to do in this hour. I'm going to tell you about that in just a second. But I also want to ask you a question. Are you getting married in 2021? Well, Busch Stadium is the perfect venue for baseball-loving couples, and dates are still available. From receptions and ceremonies to portrait sessions, Cardinals special events can help bring a little baseball into your big day. All right, coming up, we're going to hear from CJ Netkowski a little later on. Next, we'll hear from the skipper, Mike Shildt, here on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network. It's the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron here on the Cardinals Radio Network. Mike Claiborne, Kevin Wheeler with you here. Obviously rolling through a really busy show, and they only get busier as we get closer and closer to opening day. Now, earlier today, Cardinals skipper Mike Shildt talked a bit about a number of things down in Jupiter, talked a bit about how some of the guys that have been banged up fared in their workouts, like Jordan Hicks and Miles Mikolas, guys coming off injuries from previous seasons, talked a bit about who he might be starting in the Grapefruit League opener on Sunday, but started here with a topic I think a lot of people are going to miss, especially the guys on the field, especially the players. Going to be missing the Cardinals legends in camp, which is normally a tradition, but something that just isn't possible in the time of COVID.
There's something missing in the camp. The camp's going great, but it's the first time that in my 18 years in this organization that you haven't seen the protection of the rightful protection of our institutional knowledge and our Hall of Famers just being present, being involved in camp. It's just a huge part of getting people to understand how to be good caretakers of the organization, and then also being able to learn from these guys, you know, including myself. So, you know, clearly with Mr. Gibson and Mr. Brock passing, and of course we miss Red, you know, that still stings. You know, we memorialize them with pictures in the clubhouse that we get a chance to enjoy. And, but then you're also, like I said, I talked to Shannon last night and plan on talking to Whitey in the next day or two. And, you know, we'd see Ozzy, of course, by now. And it's always a pleasure to see him on the field and talking to the infielder, to see him and Willie and Akindo talking together and enjoying some memories. And, you know, Chris Carpenter's been in our camp the last several years, been on this, you know, part of the staff. And understandably, look, it's not the organization's choice. I mean, we only have so many spots for people that are with us more on a daily basis, and a lot of people that are in the organization full time aren't even here. So, you know, people wonder why aren't they there? Well, we have a very limited number of people that, and we're in certain tiers that can even be in the facility. So, you know, it eliminates some really remarkable Cardinals from being with us. We got to be intentional about using Zoom to allow this group to connect. You know, like I say, Ozzy and Izzy and Carp and you know, Ron Ludwig was part of our program last year, was a big part of it. And Bruce Suter I've talked to recently. And, you know, there's just a lot of people that care about this organization and the organization cares about that. We want to get in front of our players and our staff to make sure that we continue to uphold what they built. So Jimmy Edmonds, I mean, Jimmy's really smart baseball guy. Clearly, he does some broadcast. Is very helpful. Sees the game well. But no, these guys work. I mean, that's the thing's missed. I mean, they come in and they've just got such a wonderful eye, and they know what it looks like. And you know, Derek Lopes, I talk about that. You know, knowing what it looks like. And this is a group that clearly knows what it looks like. And they come in and it's you know, for a guy like Nolan Arenado to come in the organization, you know, I think it's important for guys like Ozzy to be around and talk about some defensive things and take a few ground balls, have some fun with it. But, you know, clearly that can't happen the moment, but my hope is maybe at some point this year at Busch Stadium, we can make that happen.
And again, that's Cardinals skipper Mike Shildt from a little bit earlier today. Gear yourself up for the 2021 season with a subscription to Cardinals Magazine. It's your premier source for Cardinals coverage in season and out. Remember, you can sign up at cardinals.com/magazine or call 314-345-9000. Coming up next, we're going to talk to CJ Nitkowski, former major league reliever, now a host on MLB Network Radio. He also works as a part of the Texas Rangers broadcast. We'll talk to CJ Nitkowski when we come back here on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show presented by Amarin on the Cardinals Radio Network. Right back in on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show presented by Amarin here on the Cardinals Radio Network. Kevin Wheeler, Mike Claiborne, of course, with you here. We got the show rolling all the way up. It looks like we have about, the way things are going now, just another few weeks of our, basically our hot stove show that we call the Countdown, and looking forward to counting down to the regular season, talking a little bit more about games here starting up this weekend. Also happy to be talking about the big picture in the National League and some of the top stories in Major League Baseball and some Cardinals with CJ Nitkowski from MLB Network Radio. He's kind enough to spend a little time with us here on the Countdown. First of all, CJ, thank you for doing this. Second of all, hope you're doing well, man. I know it's a different kind of spring, but at least we've got games starting here in a matter of days, and that's good for all of us.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's always good to talk with you, Kev. Yeah, it is good to see some games. It feels at least a little bit kind of normal. I've noticed so far early energy, I think, coming out of camps, both from coaches and players. Everyone's just happy to be on the field. We can't be there. Everything I'm doing is from a distance. We'll do a couple of games on television, and we won't even get to do it in person, so we'll actually call those from Arlington for me when we go do some Rangers games. But I'll take it any way I can get it at this point.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So what's got your attention as we get into this part where Cactus League, Grapefruit League are going to get started? What are the top stories that you guys are talking about right now on MLB Network Radio?
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton going on. We were talking about the Blue Jays a couple of days ago, which I think is interesting with the Blue Jays and kind of where they are and whether or not they can challenge in the American League East. They may have a legitimate chance, but they probably could use a little bit of help. I think the idea of how strong both Eastern divisions are in both the American League and the National League, and how that's going to be difficult for teams trying to win a wild card because they're playing each other this year. And so the idea that you're four teams deep in both of those divisions, I think certainly will be a big story throughout the year. What's going on in every division matters, but I think even who is going to take this National League Central, it does seem like the Cardinals have made the best moves, but there hasn't been a ton of money spent, at least in free agency. Now, the money certainly has been taken on with some trades with Nolan Arenado. And the idea that Jackie Bradley Jr. and Jake Odorizzi don't have jobs yet is also kind of interesting at this point.
Yeah, that's crazy. And there was some buzz maybe a couple of weeks ago about Odorizzi maybe having some ties to the Cardinals. He's from right across the river in Illinois, but haven't heard a lot of that here lately. I think you have an interesting take there, CJ. And I heard you guys talking about the Blue Jays on the network. And I thought, you know, the more about the comparisons in the division, how much that could impact even the wild card races where, you know, you look at the East in both leagues, it's loaded. You look at the West, they seem more top heavy to me, especially the National League West. Mm-hmm. And then in the Centrals, more in the National League Central, I think, than the American League. Because at least in the American League Central, I think we have a pretty established favorite, right? I mean, Minnesota's kind of in that role. I'm not sure that we have that much definition in the National League Central division.
I would agree with you. And I would say I still like the White Sox on paper, too, is probably the best team out of the American League Central. But no, you're right. I mean, we looked at this National League Central and just kind of wondering who was going to step up this offseason. And what do you do when you're caught in between? Like, I think for the Chicago Cubs, and I know their fans hate to hear this, Cardinals fans probably like to hear it, they're better off bowing out, in my opinion. Like, if you're going to go ahead and take that step backwards, go ahead and take it and get rid of some of that money if you can. If that means Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, I know they brought in Jake Arrieta, and so that tells me they're okay just kind of hanging in the middle without making any major improvements. Obviously, there's a big subtraction there, and Yu Darvish not being on that club anymore. And I would say the same thing about the Reds. The Reds were stuck in the middle. They traded away their closer, but yet they still have Sonny Gray. They still have all those guys in the middle of that lineup, like Mike Moustakas and Castellanos and Joey Votto. Eugenio Suarez is a name we had heard a bunch. And everybody, at least as it stands right now, is still there. They actually, I think, could be as much of a threat as anybody in that division. And then the Milwaukee Brewers, now we're hearing some rumblings about maybe they'll be in on Jackie Bradley Jr., although I'm not sure where he fits. And so it still runs four deep as far as contenders go, in my opinion. It just hasn't been that they're in with a ton of expenditures necessarily this offseason to make it happen.
No, you're right. And I mean, the only real big move in the entire division was the Arenado trade. I know you guys talked about that a lot. Everybody did around Major League Baseball. And I'm not saying that one move changes the division because I don't think it does, but it does help the Cardinals in that their biggest weakness was the middle of the order, right? I mean, when you don't have a solid 3-4, it's hard to be consistent. I mean, you can have games here and there, but it's hard to be consistent. The fact that he also fits into their defensive profile, they've been arguably the most effective defensive team in baseball the last 2 years based on some of the metrics. They got that, and they've got pitching depth, and now you at least have a couple of guys in the middle. But even that is still a team. If you listen to Cardinals fans, CJ, they're still like, okay, but who's going to hit in the outfield? And, you know, is everybody in the rotation going to be able to stay healthy with Michaelis coming off surgery last year and Kim having never pitched a full season in the big leagues and Waino being 39? You know, you go through the list of things. You can find questions if you want to look for them.
You can, and there's always been kind of a running joke for us on MLB Network Radio that in previous off seasons, usually the calls we got from Cardinals fans was the stress over who was going to back up Yadier Molina. Like, that seemed to be like, that was their biggest problem, and there was no empathy from us when we would take those calls. Now, things have changed here a little bit over the last couple of years. I had wondered out loud when we were talking about the Cardinals earlier about Jackie Bradley Jr., because when he came up with the Brewers, I'm like, I wonder why the Cardinals haven't been in on him. And I know Harrison Bader plays a really great center field, and he's solid defensively, but it is a left-handed bat that you would get in Jackie Bradley Jr. with probably a little bit more pop in there. If for some reason his price tag falls, it's not a bad sneaky move for them, I don't think. I'm talking about like on a one-year deal, not going long-term. Right. If he can't get the deal that he's looking for, and maybe the money's not there, maybe it's not a match for them, but there's something about that left-handed bat who you're not even asking for a ton of, right? You just went through what's happening in the middle of the lineup and even probably at the top where you can afford to slide him down if you want, just to be able to mix it up a little bit and give you a little bit of a different look from a guy who defensive metrics aren't that favorable to him. I think they're misreads. I think he's much better than the numbers say, and I think people that watch him will tell you that he's much better defensively. He's really good defensively, but I've kind of wondered why his name hasn't come up with them. I guess if you're down to one last move, if it's him or if it was Oda Rizzi on the guys that didn't get the money they wanted this year and only have to sign their best one-year deal that they could sign, I'd probably go Oda Rizzi too. But I just kind of started wondering a little bit about the Jackie Bradley Jr. fit in St. Louis.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the one thing that if you look at the lineup, CJ, it's very right-handed. I mean, you know, outside, because right now there's no spot for Matt Carpenter, who would be one of the only left-handed hitters on the Major League roster. Carlson's a switch hitter, so he's going to help in that regard, but he's also a rookie. So, you know, I mean, the expectations are high for a highly thought of rookie who finished strong last year. But again, you know, until you see it, it's hard to know what to count on. I think a lot of Cardinals fans are probably nodding along saying left-handed hitting outfielder might not be a terrible platoon partner for a guy like Bader, who kills lefties but has struggled with right-handed breaking balls. I think the team probably wants to find out more about those guys, but you have me intrigued, CJ.
Yeah, I think with Bader, you know, he's an interesting guy because you watch him and I love the way he plays and he gets after a little bit. He's a fun player to watch. And we've seen it at times, right? We'll see a little pop in the bat, but maybe not to the consistency that we had hoped, right? It's league average on base. It's even though for me, I know we get away from batting average. I think it still matters to some degree with a guy like that, knowing the slugging numbers aren't going to be off the charts. I'd like to see him get his hits at least. But it, you know, he does have 3 years now of service time in the big leagues, and I think they have to make a decision to see the guy going forward, or are there better upgrade options? And potentially that's where a guy like Jackie Bradley Jr. might fit. Not to what his ask has been. And sometimes that stuff is a little bit exaggerated, but we hear like, was he looking for 5 years or is that really a conversation starting point for him? And he's hoping to get four and he'll settle for three. Well, then it probably doesn't fit the Cardinals if that's the case. But on a 1 year, and here's the other part of it. I think when you get these conversations on some of these 1 year deals where they always seem a little bit high on the, you know, because the contract number is going to be higher than it would have been on a multi-year deal. In the case of the Cardinals right now, that could be a big difference maker because of the division. You know, it's one thing if it's you bring in a guy on a one-year deal and you're not even sure how much is going to make a difference based on what your team and your division looks like. In this case, I think they have a legitimate chance to win the division. Could it be one of those incremental moves where they do something like that that ends up being the difference?
Things are changing, right? I mean, you've only got a third of a season under the belts of everybody in baseball last year. Minor leaguers, most of them had no games. Some of them had sim games at the secondary sites, but certainly not a full season's worth of work. And it sure is setting up to be a year where bullpens are going to be heavily relied upon. Just give me your view, like big picture. Are there things that people should be cautious about? What do you see regarding pitching going into 2021?
There's going to be a ton of focus on fatigue and try in ways to try to measure that and get a really good feel, because everybody wants to be ahead of the curve and not behind it, right? You want to be proactive and not reactive in the way that the Tampa Bay Rays kind of treat their pitching staff anyway, right? And it obviously became really famous this past postseason when we saw Blake Snell come out a little bit early. There are certain managers, and I would say Dave Roberts gets like that too. They want to get their pitchers out there a hitter early as opposed to a hitter too late, right? They don't want to wait till it's too late. So I would say take that now and look at it big picture for the entire season for a lot of these pitchers and for these teams. I think that's the direction that they go, whether it's six-man rotation. We keep hearing in Rangers camp they want to get a little bit more creative on what they're going to do, maybe with a potential six spot for a little while. And it's going to be a lot of trial and error. Everybody can have ideas that they put together in their lab. What does it look like? How does it play out on the field over the course of a real season? I think the upside is, for the longest time, and certainly during my generation, when you were the long man in the bullpen, you were the last man in the bullpen, and you probably weren't valued. Those guys have a ton of value right now. The idea that you could throw multiple innings, maybe it's three or four, come back again, do it another 3 days later, there could be great value in that. I think we've seen it over the last couple of years anyway. We call it the bulk guy now. He actually has a new title. But it's good to see those guys get some value because they used to have a really tough job and they were often underappreciated.
And that's former big leaguer CJ Nitkowski with us, of course, now with MLB Network Radio and the Rangers broadcast team. I want to remind you, for the best baseball content and hot stove updates this offseason, follow at MLB on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. All right, stick around. We're going to hear a little bit from Cardinals center fielder Harrison Bader when we come back on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network. We continue on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day show presented by Amron here on the Cardinals Radio Network. Mike Claiborne, Kevin Wheeler with you here. Already gotten so much information tonight from so many people, and we're going to continue that. We got a little bit more to do, and we're going to do that here with Cardinals center fielder Harrison Bader, who spoke about a couple of different things earlier this week. One, about how he wants to add a gold glove to his resume, kind of like Tyler O'Neill did last year, but also just wants to work with the group to make the entire outfield stronger and more of an asset to the team moving forward.
You know, guys might be moving around, but it's my job to make everybody aware of what's going on. And what I mean by that is communication. You know, communication is obviously very important, whether it be coming in with your infielders, going to your left or to your right, to your left fielder, right fielder. You know, it's my job to make it just an imperative thing. And yeah, I mean, everybody does a really good job of that. There is an understanding of it. So it's like, I need to pound it really home. But, I do put it all on me to go out there and explain, you know, what I expect of myself and my guy to my left and to my right, because we are a unit out there.
What was your reaction when the deal happened this winter here with Dax? I mean, obviously he'd been here for pretty much the entirety of your big league career and was a guy who you've had to your side for the whole time you've been in the outfield. What's the outfield like without him, I guess, at this point?
You know, you mentioned him being a part of my career since I kind of made my debut in 17. Obviously he was here. He's always been a positive influence in my career on and off the field. He's always had my back. He's always taken the time to go out of his way to give me any piece of information, whether it was related to baseball or not. It's really nice to be able to lean on guys at times who do have a lot of experience, who have felt what you have felt, again, whether it be on the field or off the field. So he's always been a great friend of mine. I will always keep in touch. When I saw the move, it's a business. You know, I know that there was, you know, some motives behind it, which, you know, I understand, but I also, you know, it is what it is to me. I have a job to do. I have things to prepare for. And I'm going to go out there and just do my absolute best to be, you know, what Dex was to me, to be to some younger guys. And that doesn't really take a lot. It's just a matter of just staying locked in, staying present, and just being there for your teammates, just like Dex was for me. So I plan on acting that way, because the guy who just exited, you know, this organization acted that way the entire time.
We all know you're a confident guy, but in terms of the organization saying the younger guys we have in the outfield, we like those guys, we think they'll produce for us, we want to see what they can do. What does that do for the younger guys and for you, knowing that the organization believes in you and didn't make any moves to, you know, to add a piece here or there? They want to see what you guys can do.
Yeah, I mean, it means a lot. You know, I mean, we, you know, Matt Wieters, he had a really good quote. It's always stuck with me. And he's always said, you know, does confidence get you hits, or do hits get you confidence? And when I think about that, you know, in my opinion, it comes from within. And, you know, it comes from how you wake up in the morning, how you go to sleep, how you go and prepare, how you get ready to go out there and compete. So when you have that piece of yourself confident, and then you kind of add that organizational piece where they say, listen, we're confident what we got. You know, we're ready to go out there and win a World Series with this club. I mean, I can't imagine feeling any better. So, you know, with that said, it gives a lot of people confidence, gives me confidence. And listen, man, a large part of this game is definitely mental. So, you know, a lot of dudes on this team are very physically talented. And those separators are those little pieces. And, you know, this might be just that. So everyone's going to go out there and do their job. I'm going to compete on all sides of the ball, and we're going to win a lot of baseball games.
Kind of a random topic, but I wanted to get your thoughts on Ken Griffey Jr. and his legacy as a defensive center fielder, since you're the Cardinals center fielder.
Yeah, so the word legacy means a lot, because it's easy to think about the end product, and then years will go by, at-bats will go by, situations will go by, and you kind of look back and go, well, I wanted to create a legacy, but, you know, I don't really have much to show for it. And Ken Griffey Jr. is an example of somebody who came to the field every day, I mean, and just absolutely balled on all sides of the field, and did it with a smile on his face and a backwards hat, you know, that he's obviously known for. But, you know, as a young kid, seeing that, seeing the fun, seeing how present he was, you know, that's his legacy to me. Obviously, he has so much more that he's done for the game. But in terms of just going out there and being the absolute best athlete, being the best baseball player you could be, I mean, doing it with a smile, doing it free flowing, I mean, that's just as great of a legacy as you could be. Because at the end of the day, I mean, it really is a kid's game. There are grown men playing baseball, like little leaguers are still playing baseball. So it's the same exact game. And I think, you know, for me, my biggest takeaway is just going out there and realizing that every situation is its own situation. When you're on defense, you go out there and play defense, make a play for your pitcher. When you're on offense, you go out there and do what you got to do in that situation. And, you know, when you think about it that way and you slow everything down, you can kind of get some separation and you can kind of breathe a little bit more and relax. And, you know, we had one guy win a gold glove this, you know, this past season, Tyler O'Neill. That's awesome. And I want one. I want one more than anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know what I have to do to help this team win, and it's going to start on that side of the ball. And then we'll go from there on offense, but it really starts with just my preparation and being as best center field as I can for my team. And the gold glove thing, it's more of just like a standard, you know? It's a standard of how you go about your craft in the outfield. It's a standard of how you go about your preparation. It's a standard of how you go about everything in the middle. You know, this game is, there's no secret to success. A lot of it is repetition. So going out there, keeping a really good routine, you know, on defense, that gold glove standard, that platinum standard, guys, you know, Arenado's won a bunch. Yadi's obviously won a bunch. It's more about the standard of what it means to go about there and go about your business of your craft. And, you know, that's a standard I'm shooting for. And I know that, you know, this defense is capable of winning a bunch. So when you kind of pair all three of our ability, we're all on the same page. I mean, we're out here working on the little things, little separators, the communication, the one guy moving in, one guy has his back, moving as a unit out there, getting in the habit of working between pitches with each other, you know, voicing, you know, if the wind's picking up, just little separators that ultimately could turn out to be the difference of a ball game or two. So, you know, those are the things where we're really just taking a big focus on, and I can't wait to see it all play out, man. We're kind of just getting ready to go out there and just, again, win as many games as possible. You know, we have a group chat. We don't have a Cardinals outfielder specific group chat yet, though, so maybe that might be in the works. But no, I mean, again, it's just this organization. I mean, I've been a part of it now. This is what my fifth, you know, going on my fifth season in the big leagues, but even before that, a couple seasons beneath it. I mean, you know, in the lower levels, I mean, there's just a standard rolling to the stadium every day. There's just an energy walking through the doors and an expectation that everybody just feels, you know, when you're approaching a locker room. I mean, it's just the truth. It is what it is. It's just, you can't fake it. You can't pretend it's, you know, pretend it's there or pretend it's not there. It just is. And the level of focus this group has, specifically the outfielders, but just everywhere, it's just awesome. And coming to work every day is just awesome. So, you know, we just got to get our legs under us. We're going to keep doing our reps, but, you know, before we know, we're preparing for game one and we'll be right where we need to be.
Hey, Harris, I'm curious, were you surprised when the team traded for Nolan, and, or is it possibly because you've seen the Goldschmidt trade that, you know, this isn't a surprise to you? And also, just what does it mean to have a guy like that here? I mean, it's got to feel like, okay, it's October, a bust for us.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely wasn't surprised. And I think that's because, you know, obviously we have a great front office in my opinion. And St. Louis expects playoffs. They expect championships, especially out of their baseball club. And they should. And you know, our front office, our owners reflect that. And, you know, whether, you know, we had one piece here, one piece there, at the end of the day, the goal is always to go out there and put the best club on the field to be able to go out there and win. And, you know, adding a guy like Arenado, I mean, I've seen him play from afar. I mean, dude's a baller. So it just means a lot to me. You know, everybody's excited because the front office, you know, they did a great job. Obviously, Mo did a great job. And I'm just excited to go up there and just soak up the energy, man, and just go out there and just compete with that dude. Because, you know, you mentioned Goldie. That was a big piece a couple of years ago. He's probably the best teammate I've ever had. And now you got Arenado, another gamer. So, you know, we all just want to compete. We all want to win. And St. Louis is a great place to do it in. So, you know, I'm excited and just going to go out there, put our heads down and take care of business.
And again, that was Cardinals center fielder Harrison Bader from earlier this week. I want to remind you that the Cardinals Kid Club, presented by Rawlings, is the exclusive fan club for kids 13 and under. Membership includes access to exclusive virtual events and items, including a fleece blanket and a wall sign, all for just $33. You can join at cardinals.com/kidsclub. Stick around. We're going to come back, wrap up the show, and give away another 2021 Cardinals calendar here on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network. Getting ready to wrap things up here on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network. Mike Claiborne, Kevin Wheeler with you here. And, of course, the season right around the corner, the 2021 Cardinals calendar is already available for you, celebrating 12 epic moments in Cardinals history and getting you ready for baseball with that regular season schedule printed right in there for you. You can get your calendar at area grocers and retailers or by calling 314-345-9000. Now, if you're feeling lucky, if you want to be real quick on the trigger and you're the first person that calls us at 314-531-1120, first person that calls us at 314-531-1120 can get their 2021 Cardinals calendar for free. Many thanks to our guests for today, man. It's been a hell of a show. Great to hear from Nolan Arenado, Jack Flaherty, Harrison Bader, Mike Schilt, DJ Nitkowski of MLB Network Radio, Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch. Hopefully you guys had as much fun as Mike Claiborne and I did putting all this together. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week here on the Cardinals Countdown to Opening Day Show, presented by Amron on the Cardinals Radio Network.